down, goes to junior church, we recognize that today. So they'll be going out there, forcing them down. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Appreciate you wrote that.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that song. So have you come preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Once again, my name is Christopher McClure Hunter. McClure, my grandfather is Irish. My grandmother is pure Bisaya, Cebuano. And it's a blessing that I can be with you this morning. My partner is with me, Pastor Rainfredo Luzano. Rainfredo Luzano, Jr. And he was born in Cebu. I was born in Riverdale, Georgia. Yes, sir. And they know me as the redneck Filipino. So when I was born in Georgia, all nurses and doctors wanted to go see what a Filipino baby looks like. And so they came and they looked at me. So, and then I grew up in California. I was saved under the ministry of Fred Null in National City. It used to be Filipino and American Bible Baptist Church there in National City. And I was saved when I was 7 years young. And I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted Christ as my Savior. I didn't want to go into a place where there's darkness and flames and worms that die not and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I did not want to have that. And I thank God that he sent Jesus. He came. He gave himself on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood for you and for me. A week later, I got baptized. Wanted to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. Wanted to be faithful. I said, Lord, I want to be obedient. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then when I was 16 years old, went to Flagstaff, Arizona, where there's a Bill Rice Ranch camp there. And then I enjoyed having a time with young people. And it was there during that time, I was 16 years old, I heard powerful preaching that pricked my heart. And I said, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. And whatever you feed me, I will swallow. And so, not knowing that God would send me to the Philippines, my mom said, why don't you go to Bible college in the Philippines, where Bob Hughes started work there in Cebu City? I said, I'll never go to the Philippines. He said, why don't you pray for it? Pray about it and see what God will do. I said, I'll pray for it, but I know God won't send me to the Philippines. Long story short, here I am. And so went to Bible college, and I was expecting air-conditioned rooms and carpet floors and Pizza Hut and all that good food, but nope. When I opened the door to the boys' dorm, it creaked. It was a shower, nothing, not a shower, it was just a little pipe, and a little water comes out like that. I had to learn how to wash my clothes by hand. I had to learn how to use a charcoal iron. You put the charcoal in, you set it on fire, and wait for it to die down, and then you carefully iron your white long sleeve. And then you had to use a toilet without a toilet seat. And no flush. You are running water. And so I had to learn all of that. I had to learn the language. I'm a Filipino, but I didn't know my own language. I didn't know. I grew up here in the United States. I talk with my hands, you know. And Filipinos like to talk with their face. You know? But it's a blessing. I married my wife. She's a Bible college student also. She's the most beautiful woman in all the world. And I'm thankful I have my family. And so this morning, we came all this way to say thank you. Thank you for sending those Bibles to the Philippines. It is the first time we've ever received anything like that. And so I didn't mind getting our support this month. And so I told Brother Luzano, let's get back to the States. Let us say thank you, because this is not a common gift. This is an uncommon gift. This is such a huge blessing. When Brother Petrarco, Pastor Serrano said, Brother Hunter, would you like to receive Bibles? I said, oh yeah, of course. How many? A container. I said, oh, okay, amen. But when the container actually came, I said, that's a lot of Bibles. And so I was so thankful. And we have an opportunity, as you saw in the video, Pastor Luzano has helped us to get in touch with the Philippine National Police, the PNP, and the authorities there in the Philippines, so that we can get into every school and put a Bible in their hands under the guise of battle against drugs. And so I can't say I'm pastor from Bible Baptist Church. I have to say I'm Chaplain Hunter. And we work with the PNP, and we're here to give you a symposium, a battle against drugs. And at the very end, we tell them about Jesus. We tell them that Jesus saves, and there's no other way for one person to go to heaven. It's not through religion. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's our focus, Pastor. As you said this morning, our goal is to preach Christ. There's no other joy that we have in this world. Our goal is to preach Christ, and that by God's grace, souls will be saved. On the airplane, we preach Christ. It's your fault if you sit next to me. And so I preach Christ. Wherever we go, in schools, door to door, one on one. Sometimes in those schools, we preach to 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000. And what a wonderful blessing it is. Not everyone will receive Christ, but we have an opportunity just to plant that seed. And this morning, I thank you. Pastor, thank you so very much for having us on short notice. For the Petralco, the family, thank you for allowing us to stay in your home. And I'm thankful that even though it's a different time zone here, the Lord has given me strength this morning. If I fall asleep, just wake me up. No, but I pray that you'll be blessed this morning. This morning, the message is in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37 and 38. If you please stand with me this morning and open your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 9. I won't be long. I want mainly just say thank you and be an encouragement to you this morning. Let's read this morning, Matthew chapter number 9, verse 37 and 38 this morning. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's read together. Ready now? Begin. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's what we need to pray this morning, that God will send forth more laborers. God has given me the opportunity to become the regional director of the whole part of Region 10. It's like if North and South Dakota, I would be the regional director of South Dakota. And we're in charge of 2,000 schools. We have to get those Bibles into the hands of those students and those principals and those teachers and those police officers. And once again, I want to say thank you for putting those together and sending those to the Philippines. We're excited. And our goal is every month when we get to those schools, we're going to send you a report. We're going to send you videos so it will continue to strengthen your heart as you continue to serve the Lord. Father in heaven, I ask, Father, now that you'll bless, Lord God, the message this morning. Lord, we pray for laborers because, Lord, at first hand, not only here in the United States, but also in the Philippines, we see a great harvest of souls that want to hear and want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray, Father, that you'll help us, help me to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, let the people know, Lord God, that we are very thankful. The people of the Philippines are very, very grateful. And I pray that you'll plant it in their heart this morning. And thank you, Lord God, for their precious gift. I pray that you'll continue, Lord, to encourage this Pastor Matt, and you continue to bless this church. And thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord God, to give your word this morning. I pray that you'll encourage in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. So I have everything here on. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And so it was a blessing for us when Brother Petralco, Pastor Serrano, Pastor Serino from Alaska, not down under. But he came and their group came and they were able to help us distribute those Bibles firsthand so they could see exactly where those Bibles were going. And so we as a church, we need to pray. And that's the prayer of God. God is not saying, pray ye therefore I can get an iPhone 7. No, or pray ye therefore I can get a nice car. Or pray ye therefore I can get a nice house. Those are nice things to pray for. But God says, you know, my prayer request is, pray that we can have somewhat laborers that will take care of this harvest. And so this morning, the searching of God. You know, God is searching. God is searching this morning. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30 to 31. The Bible says here, let me see if this will go forward. Okay, everyone read. Ready, verse number 30, ready, go. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. There are places right now in Mindanao that do not have one Baptist church. There's not even a church in many of those areas. And so we have the opportunity, unique opportunity, once again, to go into these schools and tell them about Christ. We teach them about the ill effects of drugs and cigarettes and alcohol and promiscuity and gangs and tattoos and all the whole list. But the main purpose that we're there is to tell them that Jesus saves. And the Bible says that God is looking for a man. God is looking for laborers. God is looking for someone who will stand and tell the truth, who will preach and just reveal what his word says. And how wonderful it is that when students get that word, they're able to see and read the word of God even in their own language. And that's unique. I don't know of many churches that do that. And I'm so thankful that you're able to get those translations to our place in the Philippines. Now, therefore, God says, because there was no one to tell the truth, there was no one to preach my word, God says, therefore I have poured out my indignation. And that's what's happening across the United States, and that's what's happening across the world, where people, there are no preachers, there are no one to stand up and to proclaim the truth of God's word. God says, I have no other choice, but I have to pour out indignation. I have to pour out wrath. I have to pour out judgment because of the wickedness. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have a recompense upon their heads, saith the Lord God. You reap what you sow. Right? Now, let's go here to the next part. Okay. Everyone read. Ready, go. The power of one. We were driving here. It took about an hour and a half to get here. And I said, is there a church up here? and sure enough, winding over the river through the woods, and there it was. Not to grandma's house, but there's a church right here in this area. I said, wow, there's a church. Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful when you have someone, you thank God for your pastor, who's willing to stay here and stand and preach God's word. This is what God, this is the place where God has placed him. And that's in the Philippines, that's where God placed in our heart, that we need to be there. And we're ready. I just want to let you know, we're ready to go to those 2,000 schools. We're ready to go to those mountain areas where there are schools that have no electricity. We're willing to go through the rivers and through the woods, and we're ready to bring those Bibles. And that's why we would like to partner with you. And we ask that you partner with us so we can get to those places that we wouldn't be able to get to on our own. We don't have the finances. We don't have the funding. But by the grace of God, partners together, the little that you can give, we're willing to make a report and send those videos to you and those pictures so you can see firsthand that we're actually doing the work. Not all talk, but actual work and passing out those Bibles and showing what God can do in a changed life. This is Bob Hughes. He started the work there in Cebu City. He preached that message, I sat where they sat. And how wonderful it is. Just one person. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. You can do something here in South Dakota. You can do something in this, what's the name of this place here? Custer. The last stand. You can make that last stand. You can do it for the Lord, right? So, in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit. Earlier, he sought a man. He couldn't find one. Now he's seeking for fruit, and he found none. Where's the fruit? In the mangoes in the Philippines, I look for a mango tree, and I expect to see a mango. See a coconut tree, I expect to see a coconut. Now what happens when you see a tree? There's no fruit. And that's what God said. I sought for fruit. And thank God, I just love the way you take care of these children. And that's not common in many churches. In many churches, be quiet. Don't keep running. You're just kind of How wonderful. You have a love for children. And you know what's going to happen? One day, that next generation is going to grow. And because of your love planting in their hearts, they're going to take your place. We're not going to be here forever. We're not, and you know, in our church, Pastor, we do the same thing. Our choir, we have a general choir, and no matter how old you, no matter how you can sing or not, as long as you want to stand up there, you can just read the choir piece, and you can just, and the little children, they come. We have an orphanage in the Philippines, and they come, and it's just the blessing of being fruitful, And one person does make a difference. You make a difference. You're not here by accident. God brought you here this morning on purpose. And God has a plan and a purpose in your life. Now watch what happens when there's trees with no fruit. Everyone read, go. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? I don't want to be cut down before my time. I want God to use me. I want to be God's mouthpiece. I desire to be a channel of God's blessing that others who have never read the Bible can now read their own copy because I was able to be a conduit. I was able to be a blessing. I was able to be used by God to give those. And so I want to say thank you. We desire to say thank you. That's our goal. And he said, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. There are many churches where just sometimes Christians just kind of float along, and they don't want to win souls. They don't really want to be fruitful. They don't want to get involved in the work of the Lord. Just kind of, let's just listen to what a pastor has to say, and then we'll go home, and that's it. But there's a warning. When you are a tree that does not bear fruit, and 3 years, he said, for 3 years I've been looking for this fruit, and this tree isn't bearing any fruit. You know what? Cut it down. He said, no, Lord, give it a chance. Give it a chance. Let it alone this year also. And if it bear fruit, well. Watch the next part. And if not, then after, thou shalt do what? Cut it down. Oh, I said, Lord, I don't want to be cut down. I want to be a missionary. When I was 16 years old, that's when God touched my heart. And now I've been in the Philippines for 25 years. I enjoy it. I pray that God will continue to use me when I'm 120 years old. And just want to continue to serve the Lord. Hopefully I have teeth by then. But number two, the supper of God. Not only the searching of God, the supper of God. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. Everyone read. Ready, go. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. I'm looking forward to that cheesy cheese. Yes. And so, made a great supper. And ladies, you know all that goes into making not just a supper, but a great supper. When your pastor's coming over and his family and relatives are coming over. And, oh, I got to make the best chili. I have to make the best. It has to be the best cheese. It has to be the best plates. And everything has to come out. And oh, everyone's coming. I got to be prepared. And so God, when he gives, he always gives his very best. God made a great supper. And he bade many. I like this. The Bible is our primary textbook. In the Philippines, that's our goal. As a socialist, communism, they're trying to infiltrate the minds of young people here in the United States. Our goal is to do the same thing except with the Word of God. And to infiltrate the schools. President Rodrigo Roa Duterte just declared in 2017 that every January, the first month of the year, is Bible month. And the next law that they're going to pass is that every school is mandated to teach the Word of God. Oh, I'm praying that that would happen here in the United States. Because, President Trump and Duterte are very alike. They're very similar in many ways. And hopefully he'll do the same thing here in the United States. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. It's wonderful when you come to church and you're able to taste and to see and to enjoy the blessing of God's word in our lives. Everyone read. Ready, go. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. How true. That is a very true statement. Bibles aren't allowed in schools anymore, but are encouraged in prison. If kids were allowed to read it at school, they may not end up in prison. And so they have this psychologist and say, you just need more money, or you need to have just a smile on your face. And they try to tell you, but the blessing is knowing God and his word God's word changes lives. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Young people, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. I tell my children, before you go to college, before you go to a secular college, make sure you go to Bible college to learn the Word of God. Get that Word of God. Get that foundation of the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, you won't have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We need that Word. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Supper time is usually in the evening, not in the morning, not at noontime. Supper time. Things are ready. Tell them that all the food is ready. All the soup is made. But here, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Have you ever noticed when someone makes an excuse, their face starts to change? And then they start to scratch the back of their head. And they were standing upright, but now it's just, they kind of put their hand and, I'm sorry. I just forgot. I have another schedule. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'd love to come, but excuse. It was, thank you so much for inviting me, but, the cheese. Yeah, I was going to be a part, but I'm sorry. I can't stay after church. I got to. And maybe some of you later will have an excuse. But before you go, let me give you this message this morning. Here's the first excuse. He says, you can see his face start to change, starts to scratch the back of his head. And he says, I'm so sorry. I can't come to the supper because the first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Now, when is supper time? Morning, noon, or evening? Evening. Is this a good excuse? Why not go tomorrow morning? Why not go tomorrow afternoon? You're going to go look at your property in the evening? They didn't have electricity in those days. What, are you going to take a candle and go, this is my property. Look at this property. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excuse. You know what that means? Let's look at this one here. Everyone read, go. Real estate. It's not an excuse. I have a property. I have things to do. Let's go. Maybe the next excuse will be better. If you don't have time to pray and read scriptures, then you are busier than God ever intended you to be. Don't be too busy. Excuse number two. Maybe excuse number two will be a good excuse. Because excuse number one was not a good excuse. Let's try number two. And another said, here he puts his hand. I can't come. You know why? Everyone read, go. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. How many oxen is that? 10. And I go to prove or train them. I pray thee, have me excused. Again, supper time. My father-in-law is a farmer. And he's been doing that for many, many years. I've seen him get up early in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he works until the evening, about 6 o'clock. But at 6 o'clock, he takes off all his dirty clothes, put on new clothes. And my mother-in-law has supper prepared. I've never seen him say, I can't eat because I got to still train my animals at 6 o'clock at night in the evening. I don't know. I don't think this is a good excuse. I think this number two excuse. I think it's another bad excuse. Another sorry excuse. Mystery. Everyone read. Ready, go. Your job is not an excuse. Let's go to church. I just bought property and I can't come because there's so many excuses that many people make. We're all guilty. I have my own excuses. And I think the best excuses would come right here from South Dakota. I can't come because it's snowing. And that's the best excuse. That's hard. Whew. I don't know how, I think if I were living here, I'd probably make a whole bunch of my own excuses. You know what too busy means? It means totally over-occupied, being under Satan's yoke. Too busy. Pastor, I'm too busy. I can't. Cheese? Yeah, it's good, but I have cheese at home. Yeah. No. And so many people, everyone wants to make excuse. Everyone read, ready, go. If it stops you from getting closer to God,
it needs to go.
It needs to go. Let's see. Number three. First excuse, bad excuse. Number two, another bad excuse. Maybe number three will be a better excuse. This is a tough one. Look at this one. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He's having a hard time. You can see him just putting it this way. He didn't even say, have me excuse. He said, I can't come. You know, maybe his wife's saying, you can't come. You can't go. But number three excuse is still a wrong excuse. Let's look at, he even has a verse to support why he's making excuse. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. He says, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and do what? And shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. And all the ladies said, amen. He said, I can't go because the Bible says I can't go to war and I can't have business. And I'm supposed to stay home and cheer up my wife. I can't go to your supper tonight. I'm too busy. I have brought property. I have to train my animals. I have to take care of my wife. But if you actually look at this, I'm not asking you to go to war. I'm not asking you to go to business. The master's called you because supper's ready. And I think the very best way, if you want to cheer up your wife, bring your wife along. Both of you can come and have a wonderful supper tonight. I think that these three excuses are bad excuses. Everyone read, ready, go. Family is not an excuse. Family is not an excuse. Put God first in your marriage. Put God first in the life of your children. Put God first in your daily life. Don't allow excuses to come. Everyone read, ready, go. If it's important to you, you will find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. Wherever I go, whether in the Philippines or the United States, everyone has their own excuses. Everyone does. But you know what? God doesn't like excuses. God gets angry at excuses. And we'll hear, you can make excuses or you can make progress. I can say, well, we got all these Bibles. You know, those schools are too far away. And I don't know, Brother Petrocco, it's just hard to get at those schools. They're real far. And, you know, a lot of those places, it's just hard to get to. I can make an excuse. You can make an excuse here. Oh, you know, there's a lot of snow, and I don't know, I just can't do it. And just, God, I know you want me to do something, but, you know, I just can't, Lord. And we always make excuses, and we always back up our excuses with some type of Bible verse. Everyone read, ready, go. We cannot busy ourselves doing good things and then use those good things as an excuse for skipping God's best. We always have something better to do. But let me tell you, there is never something better when it comes to God commanding us to do something. When God asks us to do something, remember, excuses are well-planned lies. That's what it is. The end-all, be-all. Excuses are lies. Number three, the sufferance of God. The sufferance of God. Everyone read, ready, go, verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. What things? The excuses that they all made excuses. Then the master of the house being happy. No, he wasn't happy. You know that God hates excuses? Because God has so many wonderful plans for your life. And so many wonderful opportunities. I had excuses why I didn't want to come. To say thank you to the churches that put all those Bibles together. I said, number one, I don't have money. I have money, but I don't have enough money. It's kind of far. There's snow. I don't go to snow. I've never driven in snow. You may get caught in the snow, you know, Brother Dosano. Then you have to push the car while I'm inside, you know. You know, you can make all the excuses. And then the coronavirus. Oh. And then they said, Brother Hunter, Pastor, don't go because you might die. I said, I'm going to die anyway. Did you know that everyone in this room, all of us, one day are going to die? Whether it be coronavirus or you're just eating too fast. And you choke. Doesn't matter. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to a servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. This is a list of people who normally don't make excuses. Oh, would you like to come to dinner? A rich man says,
I already have dinner prepared.
Would you like to come to dinner? The man who has everything doesn't want to come, but a man who has nothing. Come, would you like to come? We have chili and cheese. Would you like to have a dinner tonight? Oh, yes, where is it? Do you have to pay anything? No, it's all free. Oh, yes, I'd love to come. And people who are maimed and halt and poor and halt and blind, God says, go out quickly because the time is short. Jesus Christ is coming soon. The poverty of the soul. The poverty of the soul. 1 billion people still live without the Bible in their language. Wow. A billion people. Billions upon billions of people in the world today don't have a Bible. I encourage if you have a Bible in your home, if you have 10 Bibles, give us one. If you're not using it, if you have different colored Bibles, if you have big Bibles and small Bibles, if you're not using it, please put them in a box. Ship them to the Philippines. We'll find a good home for that Bible. Make sure it's King James. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why does God want to invite the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why does God invite us? Because he loves us. Why does God invite us? Because it tastes good. I remember Mom used to make spaghetti with a whole bunch of garlic. Oh, I like Mom's spaghetti with the meatballs, you know, with the garlic and then the what is it called? The bread, the garlic bread. Oh, I love it. I put a whole bunch of pepper on that. Oh, I love my mom's spaghetti. And she always makes it the best. I said, Mom, it tastes good. She said, always tastes good. I'm your mom. Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. But I'm not just saying it was because she was my mom, because it actually tastes good. And you know what? God, he gives his word. So many people get angry. Oh, don't tell me what to do. You're shoving that religion down my throat. You know, if people just get into the word of God and just actually read it, it'll actually taste good. It actually tastes very good. It'll change life. The servant of God, almost done. The servant of God. Thank you for a kind attention. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. I've been to churches across the United States, no matter how big the church is, I always see chairs that are empty. I've never seen a church that was full packed, that every chair, someone was sitting in it. And no matter where you go in the United States or around the world, in every church building, there will always be room. There will always be another area that people need to hear Christ. What do we do, Brother Hunter, if we fill this room? Then we need to break down another wall, put more chairs, build another space. They're praying that they have more parking spaces in the church tonight we'll be going to. Break down the walls and make more room, because Jesus is coming and souls must be saved. There will always be room. There will always be room. Because the world is filled with those who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Nobody is impressed with how good your excuses are. No one's impressed. I went to bed this morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, making that video, trying to finally put it all together. I didn't want to make excuses. I didn't want to say, Brother Petroco, I'm sorry, I couldn't get it done, you know. I felt tired, though. I started to just doze off. I said, Brother, can you give me another coffee? I had 3 cups of coffee last night. Put the pictures together, put the video together, and no excuses. Get up early. You got to get, Brother Hunter, we have to leave by 7:30. Okay, we'll be ready. Yes, sir, ready here. Yes, sir. No excuses. No excuses. And that's how we should be, soldiers of the Lord, ready to serve, ready to fight, do what God wants us. I like this morning. That's why I was so blessed with the children this morning. If I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. I love that. I would say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place. I remember that song. When I was 12 years old, my dad said, "You're going to teach a Sunday school." I said, "What? Sunday school, 12 years old?" My dad has a love for children, the children's department, superintendent for the Sunday school, children's Sunday school. I loved going with my dad. But if I could relive my life, when I read this, I said, I'm going to make more time for children in my ministry. And how wonderful it is when you go to those schools, those children who never heard of Christ. They're not so sophisticated that they can't listen. They don't make any excuses. They have faith. They have childlike faith. Somewhere along the line, when we get older, we just kind of think that we're smart enough. And we don't need God as much as we did before when I was younger. But no matter how old you are or how young you are, we'll always need God. Always need God. And I looked at those children as they were singing here. The B-I-B-L-E, Bible! Wow! I'm going to do that in the Philippines too, Pastor. Do you have like a mechanism? Do you have something that gauges how loud it was? I was wondering how were you... Ah, okay. I got to get one of those before I go back. I'm going to do the same thing. That's a great idea. I thought you were just kind of, 93, here's 94. Bias, No, there's an actual gauge. That's neat. I like that. Anyway, and the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways. Did you go there? How about the hedges? Did you go there? And compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know how many, would you like to come to church tonight? Yeah, we have church. Would you like to come? No? Yeah, okay. I thought so. That's not very compelling. When you go, you got to be compelling. What is that compelling? Compel means to drive or urge with force. Or irresistibly to constrain, to oblige, to necessitate, either by physical or moral force. Wow! God says, compel them. You know why? Because do it quickly. You know why? Because the spaghetti I made is getting cold. My food, all this food I made, it's getting cold and no one's here to eat it. I made supper for everyone. What do you mean they're not coming? Oh, come on. I invited them 2 weeks ago. How come they're not coming? What? They bought a property? They can look at their property tomorrow. Oh, come on. And God is angry because he gave everything and people reject God's love. Soul winning. Daily in the temple, every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Christ. Curtis Hudson. Time is running out. And for some of us, some of us have a shorter time than others. I don't know. Maybe today might be my last day on this earth. Maybe after I preach, that's it. I might die right here in the mountains of South Dakota. Hopefully not. I want to get back to the Philippines and preach the Word of God. It is the greatest pleasure of living to win souls to Christ. There is nothing like winning souls and seeing those tears of young people receiving Christ. Principal, the teachers, the police officers receiving Christ. That joy you see in their face. There's no other joy like it. I don't care if it's Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm. I don't care where, whatever, Mount Rushmore. You can go anywhere in this world. And there is nothing that compares with the joy of seeing souls saved. Nothing compares to it. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I had this in our church. Come and join our all-church soul-winning follow-up and visitation every Saturday at 7 o'clock a.m. No excuses. One-on-one training. Learn how to lead a soul to Jesus. And then lunch at 12 noon. Food, fellowship, friends, and fun. And you know what? Even if we have food and even if we're training them, we make it as fun as we can. They're still, oh, Pastor, I'm busy on Saturday. I can't really make time for that. It's pretty early. That's another excuse. Then last but not least, the salvation of God. The salvation of God. What's that? It ran ahead of me. Okay, the salvation of God. I don't know why it jumped like that. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. How sad. The joys, I cannot begin to describe to you how delicious it has been for me to be a missionary. If I had to do it again, I would be a missionary all over again. I would definitely go back to the Philippines. And I would definitely do a better job. If I could go back and be a missionary from the beginning and have the knowledge I have now, I'd go back again and do it better than I did before. Minus all of my excuses. Even as a missionary on the mission field, I've had my own excuses. I look back now, I wish I never made excuses. And now as I get older, I'm still young. But as I get older, I realize that there's no room for excuses in the ministry. It's you do or you do not. You go or you stay. But there is no in between. There is no in between. If you go, you can taste of the supper. You follow God's word and will and way, you can taste of the delicious blessings of God that He has prepared for you. And many of us will lose out on the opportunities of life that God has prepared for us because we're lazy, because we don't want to get involved, because we're shy, because I'm not outspoken, I'm not really a people person, I can't really stand in front of people like that. It's hard for me to do. But if you get past the excuses, God will equip you. God will bless you. God will prepare you for everything that you need to do. How old are you, sir? 16. I was your age when the Lord called me. 16. I hope God will call you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. A list of the sins that will be thrown. People will be thrown in hell. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a second death. It's a time when your soul will depart from your body. Your body will go into a coffin, and a coffin will go into the cemetery. You will stand before God one day. If you died today, are you 100% sure that heaven is your home? Are you 100% sure that you are saved, that your soul will not go to hell? If not, my dear brother, my dear sister, this morning, my friends, this morning, how I beg you, I plead with you, don't shun, don't turn away Christ. Turn to Christ. Ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart. Turn from your sin. Ask Jesus Christ to come in and say, Lord, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of my wickedness. I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm tired of trying to get to heaven my own way. I want to trust in you, Lord Jesus Christ. And give your life to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. If you died today, where would you go? Some people think that they'll die and they become a butterfly. Some of them believe that they'll become a tree. That's your grandfather right there, that tree. No, it's not your grandfather. It's just a tree. That butterfly, I think, is your grandmother. Bye, grandma. No, it's not. It's just a butterfly. If you die in your sin without Christ, your soul will spend an eternity in a lake of fire. Oh, my dear brother, sister, we should be the number one people to go out. If you die today, would you be in heaven? Would you be in hell? If you're a visitor this morning, you know what the worst excuse is? The worst excuse in all the world is, you know, I just receive Jesus in my heart? I don't know. I don't want to get up in front of all these people. And, you know, it's just kind of embarrassing. You know, I don't know if I could stand up in front of people and, you know, tell people I just received Jesus. I don't know. It just sounds really embarrassing to me. I encourage you, if you're a visitor this morning, please don't reject Jesus. Please don't reject Jesus. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood for you. He wasn't embarrassed to die for you. He wasn't ashamed to die for you. He gave himself for you. He shed his precious blood for you. In the Old Testament, they would sacrifice the lambs. But now the lambs are happy because they never need to be sacrificed anymore, because Jesus is the lamb that was slain. Visitor, friend, Jesus died for you. When you die, your soul will come out of your body. Are you ready for that? I tell the students in the schools. I tell the teachers in those schools. We tell the police officers that come and they lecture with us. They have a symposium with us. If you die today, because no one knows when you're going to die, wouldn't it be nice to know when you're going to actually die? Think about it. Wouldn't it be nice to know the exact date and hour that you're going to die? Then you could prepare. You could prepare the kind of coffin that you want. You can prepare, you can invite all your friends. Guys, I'm going to die next year, May 2nd. Yeah, on my birthday, I'm going to die. Bye, guys. Come by the house and stop by. Don't forget to bring some food. You can invite all your friends and gather together. You can have your coffin already set up. Bye, guys. You get to have my property, my car. You can have my car. My laptop, you get to have my laptop. My cell phone, brother, you can have my cell phone, brother. Bye, guys. Pastor, it's a blessing. Thank you for supporting us in the mission field. God bless. And you just sit down, get inside the coffin. It is pretty soft. Hey, it's pretty nice. Okay, bye, guys. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bye. Wouldn't it be nice just to know when you're going to die? Then you could prepare. The fact is, death is not nice because you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know how you're going to die. You don't know where you're going to die. Some people die, they just go to sleep. That's it. Some people, they eat too fast. Some people, they cross the street, they get hit by a car. They don't know. Some are raped, some are shot. Some are beat up. Some die in the war. They don't know when you're going to die. You don't know where you're going to die. But death is sure. Death is sure. And it's so important this morning that every heart in this room, you know for a fact, you know 100% sure that when you die, you have no fear because Jesus is in your heart. I invite you this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Imagine one day we all stand. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. And every sinner who has never received Christ will stand before Christ. And we who are saved will be robed in white. We will be witnesses. We will watch as Christ, our God, will judge sin and wickedness, filthiness. It's possible when you're standing there, one of your friends would be there, someone from your school or someone from your workplace will be standing before Christ who'd never known Christ. And when Christ says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." What do you mean? I don't want to go to hell. There must be a mistake. And at that time, it's possible. They might look at you. They might look at me. Chris Hunter. I know Chris Hunter, the missionary in the Philippines. We went to school together. We played football together. We played baseball together. Christ, there must be a mistake. Chris, tell him. We're friends, right? You got to let Christ let me in. Is it possible that God will look at you at that moment and say, "Chris Hunter, missionary Philippines, how come you didn't tell him about the love of Jesus Christ? How come you didn't tell him about my love?" Will you make an excuse at that time? "Oh God, you know how busy I was. I just didn't have time. I was building my house and I was waxing my car. I was taking my vacations. I was busy. You know how busy I was in the office. Oh God, you know how busy I am. You know, Lord, I'm not really good with the scriptures. I'm not really good at opening the Bible. And whatever excuse you have, it will not be enough to save your friend your family member, your relatives, from being cast into the lake of fire. I study that word cast. It's the idea of someone who has a sack of potatoes and cast. It's the idea of a group of fishermen taking hold on a fisherman's net and one, two, three, cast. What's the idea of a baseball pitcher taking that ball and cast? But the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. Is it cast? Is it cast? Is it cast? I don't know. All three are bad news. For your mother, for your father, for your relatives, for friends, someone you know. Right now, there's someone that you know. You see their face. If you close your eyes, you can imagine who they are. You know their name. And until this day, you've never told them about Jesus Christ. I don't know why. What excuse? I don't know. But I'm encouraging you this morning, my dear brother, my dear sister, stop making the excuse. Give them a gospel tract. Give them a Bible. Invite them to church. Tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, because time is running out. And when it's done, when its time is out, you will never be able to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ ever again. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. Why didn't you tell them about my love? Christ says. There's nothing wrong with my salvation. The problem is you made too many excuses, Brother Hunter, missionary to the Philippines. You made too many excuses. Too many excuses. Hell is for eternity. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Sin separates, but Jesus is the only way. You receive Christ, your soul is saved. Eternally saved. Saved forever. That's not a fairy tale. That's the truth of God's word. I like this verse, so I'm almost done. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't make an excuse. He could have said, oh, you guys beating me up, spitting on my face, pulling out my beard, putting a crown of thorns on my head. I've given you all my love. I've given you trees. I've given you fields. I've given you earth to live in. And you treat me like this. I don't deserve this. And God could have done that game. He could have treated us like that. I'm going to call 10,000 angels, 10 billion angels, and I'll wipe you all out. But God, his love kept him on the cross of Calvary. It was his love, not the nails. It was the love of Christ that kept him on the cross. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pastor, I tell those children in the schools, religion is man-made. Relationship is God-made. God wants a relationship with you. God desires a love relationship with us. And no matter how many times I've sinned, his love is still there for me. He loves me. Today, if you're not saved, I pray. It's very simple. Just ask Jesus Christ to come in. Open your heart. Ask him. Invite him. Make him Lord and Savior of your life. Ask him. I close with this. There's a very rich attorney in the Philippines. He said, Brother Hunter, why do I need what you're asking, what you're telling me, what you're preaching, teaching to me? When I talk to God, he answers my prayer. I said, for example, what? When I asked God to give me a house and lot, he gave me a house and lot. I said, oh. He said, when I asked God for a car, he gave me a car. I said, oh, I said, really? When I asked God to help my children go to school and pay for all the tuition, God gave that to me also. I said, I said, attorney, there's probably one thing you've never asked from God. It's this. He said, what's that? I said, have you ever asked Christ to give you everlasting life? Because once you have all the tuition and all the cars and all of the houses and everything is left behind, attorney, your soul is destined for a place called hell. You say that God answered all your prayers. Why not now ask God to grant you the most wonderful prayer Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you now, give me, please, give me life everlasting, eternal life. Save my soul. Wash me from my sin. I repent right now. And that attorney received Jesus Christ that day. Because it's not all the outward. It's all about the inward. God is not looking at our bank accounts, ladies and gentlemen. God is not looking at our 401k. God is not looking at our retirement. God is not looking at our bodies. God is not looking at our height. God is not looking at our face. God is looking at our hearts. And what he wants is a relationship this morning. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness this morning. Thank you for the message, Lord God. I pray, Father, for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord God, for their willingness to give. And I pray, Father, you'll continue to bless them, Lord God, as they continue to send Bibles around the world. And I do pray, Father, this morning, if there's any visitors here this morning, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice who have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, oh, how I pray, oh God, that they will not reject you, but they will simply receive you as their Lord and Savior. This is my prayer now, in Jesus' name, Pastor.